I never told no one that. My whole life I've been holding back. Every time I load my gun up so I can shoot for the stars, I hear a voice like, who do you think you are?
All righty, another day, another dollar. Another one of my favorite episodes of my favorite podcast. Yes, I'm being biased. It's my own podcast. And I'm honored and certainly privileged to have my next guest, Candy Motzik. Candy is an author, podcast host, and business coach for life coaches. Candy helps smart people start successful coaching businesses. She believes that coaching transforms lives and that being a coach is a calling. She helps her clients get unstuck and feel more confidence and clarity so they can play bigger, sign clients, and create more meaningful success. She's a recovering corporate executive and engineer who combines practical strategy and mindset in her calming, unique approach. Well, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's just great. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
I am. I'm honored that you found me because I know I was on your podcast, and to say the least, it felt refreshing because it felt like I was talking to a therapist, believe it or not.
Well, I'm not a therapist. I'm a coach, but you know, there's something about the calm thing. I have a superpower of being calm, and that really makes a difference. Yeah.
Well, exactly. And also, even though I thought we were going to just do the usual canned responses and whatnot, but you knew it was, you know, right at the surface. And then we just dug deeper and it was rather refreshing. And I can see there's such a need because everybody does believe, hey, I'll just pay 60 bucks or thousands of bucks and, you know, I'll get my certificate. And believe it or not, welcome. The business will roll and I'll be, you know, super successful and highly sought out because I'm a life coach.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the mistakes that I see coaches make. Like, first off, I don't know about you, but most of the people that I know that become coaches, they're amazing. They're talented, smart, skilled people. But then what they think is that because they know how to coach, which is a skill in itself, that somehow knowing how to coach means they're going to be successful in business and that they're going to be fully booked and making six and seven figures. And it just doesn't work that way. We take our coach training, but then we also need to be an entrepreneur. Do you find that as well with the people that you interact with?
Not only that, but myself. You're going to laugh.
Yeah, right?
Took me a year because I'm like, well, I've got a podcast going. People are inviting me on stages. People are inviting me on my podcast. I've got a cute website, 20 years business experience. I have all this free information. The videos, I'll write a blog somewhere, anything. And then it was crickets.
Yeah.
Because I was waiting. Then I had a publicist. Well, I'll wait for, but that's not, it's like, even if you had the cure for cancer, you have to be an entrepreneur. That's what you have to realize. Nobody's going to be like, Candy, I need your help. Nobody's going to be like, Omar. Yeah. I see what you can do. Please help me. That's not how life happens. It would. I think academia would start charging for degrees in coaching, life coaching.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that is key, right? Is that exposure doesn't do anything. Intentional exposure, that's a different matter. Intentional exposure where you show the value that you can help somebody create, how you can make their life easier, how you can help them get that result so much faster. And then you have to actually invite them. Like, that's the thing, right? We need to actually ask. And I don't think enough coaches do that.
But it's the fear. It's the fear of rejection. That's why when you look at some of these, it's a sales job. When you look at being a financial advisor or you're selling insurance or real estate, people, yeah, it looks good on paper. It looks easy. It's not, because a lot of times you have to overcome that fear of, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to talk to strangers. I'm going to have to be vulnerable, because when you ask for someone's business and they say no, a lot of times they feel it's a no. Oh my gosh, what's wrong with me?
Yeah. A personal no, not a not right now, not a no to the offer, but it feels like a personal rejection, right?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, a guy that lived in with that fear of rejection for so many years, I get it. But anything in life, you have to ask. You know, people say they want their soulmate and, you know, they're at home locked up thinking that, you know, by watching Hallmark for a lifetime that you know, they're going to have the, you know, their long lost ex who got better looking, you know, to knock on the door and say, let's live happily ever after. I found you again. And it doesn't work that way. People fear no. And it's crazy because even as a coach, it's no different than any other sales job. You have to follow. Nobody's going to say, oh, yeah, thank you, I need your help the first time. That strategy is 6 or 7 follow-ups and anything that they say yes. But, you know, you'll hear this. Oh, but Candy, I don't want to be too pushy, or that's so invasive. Or how about they start thinking I'm desperate?
Yes. Yes. Yes to all of it. And I agree. I have felt the same way. Times I still feel the same way. And that's why one of the, you know, things that I like to remind my clients about is that we've got this misunderstanding about fear. You know, we experience fear and we interpret it as a stop sign. And in fact, it is going to be with us forever. So thinking that somehow the fear has to go away before we take action really hampers us. But when we experience fear, then we just need to know that we just need to take one step. I remember years ago, I was down in Acapulco. I don't know if you've ever seen the cliff divers in person in Acapulco.
As a kid.
It's amazing. Like, they are amazing on TV, but in person, what they do is incredible. And there is that moment when they're standing on the rock with their little toes on the rock, and then they push off, right? And once they do that, it is courageous and graceful and an amazing feat. But it's just in that moment of the push off. That's what coaches and entrepreneurs need to know, is that you could stand there on that rock for forever. But what matters is just once you push off, then the wind will pick you up. The grace will come. It'll be beautiful and it will work.
Well, also they dive when it's shallow, when the
water. Yeah, I know.
So talk about a leap of faith, because, you know, our head would be like, okay, I'll wait till it's 10 feet, 15 feet, the water, and then I'll dive. But yeah. No, you have to take that courageous leap of faith, which, you know, it could be a metaphor for so many things in life that take action when you feel like you're not supposed to. And that's always that's what separates really people that can succeed at in coaching or selling, is because you're selling yourself or the offer. Well, if I put my price so low, well, that means you don't believe in yourself and you don't believe in your product. You know, you can't discount yourself. You're not Walmart.
No.
Seen people do that.
And honestly, I'm not a Walmart shopper. And I know that's probably a little radical, but that's I'm not a Walmart shopper. I like shopping at local businesses because I want those family businesses to thrive. Those are the people that are in my community and they employ just as many people as a Walmart does. So,
well, you see like-minded people, because I tell people all the time on social media, on videos, enough with, you know, oh, checking in, I'm at Caesar's Palace, or I'm at Nobu, or I'm at Benihana's, anybody can throw that down a credit card. Why don't you do that to your fellow friend's business, or if the local mom and pop taco shop or restaurant?
Yeah, right.
I know it's human nature, because you want to showcase that you're winning, that you're thriving, that you're at the Gucci store or Prada.
But then it's how you define winning, right?
Well, there's social media winning. That's why we have filters.
Yeah, right. I have this solution to social media winning. And it's probably, again, not a popular opinion, is I don't actually spend a lot of time on social because it is not real life. And we know that inherently. So I sort of turn away from that. I wanted to just come back to this thing that you said, which was really important a couple of minutes ago, about rejection. And we don't ask because we're worried about being rejected. So there's two things here that I think are important. We feel that the rejection is personal, and you shared that. Now, there's two ways to look at that rejection. So by not asking in the first place, because we fear rejection, we're actually rejecting ourselves. And we're actually rejecting that client, that potential client, because we don't respect them enough to give them the offer. So that was one thing that really stuck with me, is that if I don't even invite them, I'm actually rejecting my dreams and rejecting my way of helping them. So sometimes, and I don't know if you do the same thing, I get out of my own head and I look at that client or that potential client or my next client. And I know that when I focus on them, then my fear of rejection is almost eradicated, because I'm focusing on how I can help them, right? And so that's a real powerful tip for how I get out of my own way, because otherwise I'm rejecting myself. I'm rejecting them. I'm rejecting everything. And hopefully that helps.
Well, I tell people, and it's not just coaches, I tell any entrepreneur, it's selfish of you if you don't tell people what you do, what you offer. You have the cure. You have the answer to their problem. And it's selfish of you, one, to think small of them, that, hey, they can't afford me. They won't understand what I can do for them. Oh, it's not for them. You can literally save someone's life. You can change someone's trajectory. You can change their legacy by being that coach, by offering that service or that product that you offer. But every time you're like, nah, it's not the right time. It's not the right place. Then, well, to me, that's 100%. You are completely being selfish.
Yeah. Right. And to think that by withholding that offer, that you're actually hurting the people that you really want to support the most. And I remember when you were on my podcast and we were talking about it, and you talked about, you know, when you were younger and you learned how to ask, how you went from being, you know, filled with fear to actually asking and asking and asking. And I mean, like, it sounds sort of traumatic, but it was also powerful for you to step into that, right?
Oh, completely. This is the first time on a podcast or anything that I'll say this. But my last publicist wanted to do and showcase this by trying to recreate me asking out a million different women at bars or restaurants. And I'm like, well, I don't want to look like a jerk, for starters. I get it, but there's other ways of showing. It's just a muscle that, yes, congratulations. I was fearful of asking out a girl, or I was fearful of asking anybody, anything, because I was afraid of rejection. Now it's, if you constantly do it, if you go past your comfort zone, then it's like, yes, it's no. And it's just a temporary thing. Even asking out a woman, you know, if you really want to press forward, there's different reasons why, like on a date, she might be seeing someone, she might already have plans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just called asking questions. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are fearful of that. And it's the same thing, because it's called discovery. It's the same thing when you're doing business as a coach or any product that you're selling. Once you hear no, no's not, it's just a temporary thing, but you could keep on just asking away with a normal conversation. It might be the right product, wrong time, might be many different issues, but explore, ask away. Maybe this isn't the right person anyway. So why even bother following up the second, third, or fourth time? Sometimes a rejection, once you get to know the person, once you ask questions, you can either pursue the client, pursue the woman, pursue the guy, pursue whatever it is that you're trying to sell.
I really like that word that you used about exploration. You know, now it becomes not a one-way interaction. Now it becomes a conversation. And I think that there's a lot of power there.
Well, isn't that what we should do? Because a lot of times, I get it, you ask out everybody's fear. You ask out that woman, you ask out that guy. They say no. Oh gosh. Is it my shirt? Is it my horoscope? Was it my upbringing? Was it my orthodontist? You know, you go through childhood trauma, you realize that, and then you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna go buy some Chubby Hubby ice cream, anything by Ben and Jerry's, watch Lifetime and Hallmark, especially now with all the Christmas movies, go cry over a rom-com. Or, you know, let's just, now don't go note and paper, you know, just take mental notes and ask away if mm-hmm. if it's really something that you need to know. Like if you're Mark Anthony, you need to know. And that's it. And that's the same thing when you're selling something. If you're trying to sell a book, if you're trying to sell life insurance, if you're trying to sell, you're supposed to, yes, it's uncomfortable. But after a while, it becomes second nature. And in fact, you know, this rejection, maybe it is just a temporary no. There's no, I mean, you can always revisit. You can always any sale.
Yeah.
There's always a pitch. And in fact, you know, the only times, maybe the 6, 7, 8, 9 times a follow-up really can be kind of cringy and kind of stalkerish is if it's on a personal level.
But also it's how you follow up, right? You know, so as a entrepreneur, as an online entrepreneur, as a coach, it's how you follow up. Like you were saying, when you follow up in that spirit of exploration and conversation, and how might I help you? Maybe this isn't right, but how could I help you? And maybe even the how could I help you is I can refer you to somebody else, right? So that really shifts the dynamic, because your emotion that you're holding while you're asking is so different. And ultimately, I know that this is sort of maybe not, maybe a slightly different perspective, but sometimes it might be better that we don't get that sale. That person, like you said, might not be a good match for us. You know, there's a lot of allowing ourselves to create a business that is a real, true match for who we are. And sometimes it's the best favor to not be talking to that person. Like for me, I've only ever had to give one refund to all of my clients, and I've been coaching since 2014. And it was a fellow who hired me. We started coaching together. And then after a couple of calls, it became really apparent that what he wanted coaching help with was finding the love of his life. Now, I have been married for like a million years, right? And I am not that coach. I am not a relationship coach. And so I was still pretty new to the game, and I kind of struggled with it, and I tried to make it work, but like, I was like, oh, this is not fun. I don't want to play this game. And of course he felt that from me. So after another couple of calls, he said, listen, I don't think this is working out. Can I have my money back? And I was like, yes, here you go. Right. So in that case, to have received a no in the first place wouldn't have been a bad thing. And in fact, I did end up getting a no. But what did I learn from that? I learned to stay in my lane, right? To stay that there were, you know, that there was people that were a match and that were not a match. So I don't know. I don't know if you've experienced that too.
Well, yeah, you're going to laugh. There's two instances at this. This, yes, sometimes friends or whatnot, you try to coach them. And the woman, all the personal development I'm great at. But when it comes to relationships, yes, I was married 20 years. I'm not Dr. Ruth. None of my videos, nothing. I'll say, yes, I can get you that first date. I can get you in on a relationship, but asking me how to stay married is like asking that. I'm not the love doctor.
Right.
But she pivoted, and it was all about relationships. And I'm like, well, yeah, none of my books. Nothing says I'm the love doctor.
Yeah.
And after a while, thank goodness it was free. But then she felt like it was her, made a video about it called the George Glass syndrome, because that's the Brady Bunch. I think Jan, one of the three girls, well, it was because Marsha, I think Jan's the middle kid.
She is.
So, yeah. So she created a fake boyfriend, George Glass. So that's what she did.
I've forgotten about that one.
Yes.
So and this thing. Marsha yes. always gets what she wants, right?
Yes. So this woman's like talking to me about being in a relationship. I'm like, okay, so why are we still? But then I noticed that, you know, just being a busybody, it's free. And I don't know why she still needs my help if, you know, I'm not the love doctor. And also she found love. She's like, well, I found a Moroccan guy, gave me the name. I'm like, sounds Moroccan. And she's like, a Moroccan Catholic. I'm like, Christians. I'm like, okay, I have to hear this now. Because after a while, you know, that was the first, this can't be, you know, it's not an Irish Catholic. It's not a, you know, Christianity's not a stronghold in Morocco. So I kept on asking away. And then finally, I'm like, why are you lying to me? Why are you wasting your time and my time? Yes, it's free, but my time's valuable. And I said, congratulations, you're dating George Glass. And I'm like, lying to yourself. That, and then whenever people ask me, like, you know, oh, you have all the answers to business, to marketing, personal development, but why aren't you just crushing it on relationships? And I'm like, because once again, I've never said I'm the love doctor.
Well, and also you're human, right?
That too. I never said I could walk on water.
And even he was human.
Right? Exactly. But then, you know, it's like, oh, well, why don't you practice what you preach? I'm like, I don't recall ever coaching, ever putting a book about relationships. I tell people, I'm like, if they're so great, I mean, men are from Mars and women are from Venus. Mr. Gray's divorced. I think he's divorced a couple of times. So clearly the love doctor's divorced. Then, you know, we're all human.
Yeah. And sometimes that's the way the relationship evolves too. Like, it's not a mark of success to stay together forever and ever if you've grown to be different people. I wanted to talk as well. And I think that this is another piece that's really important for coaches and for online entrepreneurs is this can be a super lonely business, right? Like, we sit in front of our computers, in front of Zoom, you know, like you and I probably will never meet in person. We might, but who knows? And so new business owners often have this lone wolf syndrome, right? They try to do it all themselves. They don't reach out and create community. And that's one of the reasons that I like being a guest on your podcast, is because you and I get to talk, right? Otherwise, we need community. We need like-minded people to be in community with. And then I grow from learning from you. We have a great conversation, and then that benefits everybody. So I think that's one of the other places that I find, especially online entrepreneurs, they get stuck in their own little world and they don't get out and meet people and start creating that community for themselves. And they try to do it all by themselves. Who do you know that tries to build an entire seven-figure business by Googling YouTube videos and trying to piece it all together? Like, is that not the most painful way to build a business? As opposed to, let me go talk to some people. What do you do? What do you do? Let's learn from each other. Let's support each other, right?
Well, I've got the only child syndrome. So if I'm stuck and I've got like three or four clients all booked up on the same day and I'm alone by myself for half a day. And yeah, there's a 15, 20 minute, maybe a half hour break between them all. It's still, you get that lonely feeling. Like, I'm not the Unabomber out in Montana or whatever, right? But yeah. it gets to be, yes, all those entrepreneurial online experts that just stay behind the computer, just get hunkered down, each his own, but I can't do that. I have a Peloton. I need to go. I'm a member of a spinning gym just so I can talk to people, just so I can communicate with people. We all want that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I love it. You might have the Peloton, but you still go to the spinning place, right? I got a room full of kettlebells and I still go to the gym. I do my workouts, but I like kettlebell work, and it's kind of a different form, but it's really super good functional fitness. But I could do all of that at home. And at the start of COVID, I did. You know, we worked out in the backyard, we worked out in our carport and all that. But then the minute that we could get back to the community of working out at the gym, of course, that's what we wanted to do. And so do you find that that is like, that's another place that fear shows itself, right? People trying to figure it all out on their own because they don't think it, like, it's vulnerable for them to say, well, listen, I don't know how to make that email sequence work right. Well, guess what? Ask for help, right?
It's super vulnerable to ask for help or tell people, I don't know how to do this. Especially, you know, entrepreneurs are so narcissistic. We have all the answers. We can cure cancer. We can solve the issues of male pattern baldness. We just to say, I need help, whether it's, I need to hire a business coach if you're an entrepreneur, or I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to load YouTube. A lot of times people will stay stuck than just to ask for help, or they'll overpay somebody on Fiverr or whatnot to do something so easy just because, oh my gosh, it's so hard to ask. Which it's crazy because some of these same people will dish their drama on social media.
Right?
They're not afraid of that, but they're afraid to ask for help.
Yeah. But again, it's that undercurrent of fear, right? Like afraid to ask for clients, afraid to offer business, afraid to follow up, afraid of rejection, and then afraid to ask for help as well. And it's part of the human condition. Like I know that it's normal for us to be nervous. And it doesn't mean that we have to stay stuck there.
Oh, we're always going to have those limiting beliefs. We've been pre-wired with them since, you know, we were young. I'll always have to stretch to get past the introvert, the lonely guy, whatnot. But there's two things. I can go out of my comfort zone each and every time, or it could be like the brown John Cusack and just act like the athlete. Well, you laugh, but isn't he always typecasted as like the
he is? Yeah.
Yes. John Cusack just plays himself. Like, I don't know if that's really him, but he's always.
Listen, there's another. Who's the other guy that does that? Oh, I was just laughing about that looking at Netflix the other day. It's some guy that plays a bad guy, and it's like he never plays a different character. He's always the same guy. Steven Seagal is one of them. He just plays the same guy with a different, exactly. Uniform on. Right?
It's funnier now at our age because he's so old. He just does like these little, like, and the guy's like flying, and it's like a 20-year-old. <That's right.
laughs> But what we don't see is that other person, the opponent, is standing on one of those little mini trampolines, so they bounced off of it, right?
Exactly. But yeah, I mean. Okay, the way to any success is to go past who you are, past that comfort zone. Clearly, if it was so easy, I mean, people would be banging on my door. I'd have to hire like a security guard. You know, right.
That would be a whole different level of fear. Maybe you could manage that, right?
Exactly. like, you know, everybody has these delusions of grandeur that they want to be the next Anthony Robbins. Well, Robbins.
I have no desire for that. I have no desire for that. I'll tell you that right now. I was just thinking about this, you know, so it's funny because this conversation, you know, coming around about fear, and then you said it earlier. So I just sort of wanting to bring it back to something that you said is that hire a coach, right? Like most of us are coaches. Most online entrepreneurs, we're on our own trying to figure it out ourselves. We're dealing with fear. We're pushing up against that discomfort. And the fastest way to resolve that is to work with a coach. I have this line that is probably one of my most used sort of comments when I'm working with another entrepreneur or with a new coach. They'll come to this, you know, come to the session and they'll be like, I was so nervous, fill in the blank. I was so scared, fill in the blank. And the answer is, of course. Of course you were scared. This is new, right? And so the minute that another person can recognize, you can voice it to them. That's working with a coach. I have a challenge. I'm nervous. I'm feeling uncomfortable. You share your discomfort. And then the coach is there to say, oh, of course, it's normal. There's nothing wrong with you. This is normal human life. And that allows our clients to just kind of exhale. And then the minute that they're not all feeling, it's not that the fear goes away, but the self-judgment about feeling fear, like we get scared and then we judge ourselves about it, as all of a sudden it becomes like, it's no big deal. Of course you feel scared. And that exhale happens. And then they find their own resourcefulness. We find our own resilience, right? And so for me, that's the other thing that is so often, I can't tell you the number of new coaches that come to me. They've spent thousands of dollars on training, but they've never hired their own coach. So how do you become a coach if you don't believe in it enough for yourself and to have that safe place to be accepted? And then that whole thing, like if we didn't have fear, can you imagine what we would do? It'd be amazing. We'd do everything.
I'd be in Acapulco jumping off the cliff. Right?
And I would not. I can't imagine that climbing up those rocks thing. Oh, that just sounds gross.
And people asked me before, like, coach, did you ever have a coach? And I was like, yeah. Say for the past 20 years, I've always had either one coach or coaches. And right. It's if you want to be good at snowboarding or at skiing, since it's ski season, snowboard season, mm-hmm. you hire a coach to get you from where you are right now, whatever level, mm-hmm. it pushes you further. All the Olympians, the World Cup's going on. There's a coach. There's the goalkeeper coach, every position coach. We mm-hmm. all need coaches. We all need guidance. And not only that, but sometimes you need to look at, you need someone else's perspective because we're just looking at the at what's happening through one point of view. What's mm-hmm. what's better than having a professional have another point of view? And also he or she has the emotions out of it. A lot of times we can do irrational or we do goofy things because we base things and we do our decisions based on our emotions, which really never serve us, but we're still wired that way.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So that's, you know, that's kind of, you know, that's it in a nutshell is, yeah, we're going to be scared. Let's not hold back because we're scared. Let's not have a misunderstanding about fear. Let's not allow ourselves to allow fear to hold us back for asking for help and getting help. And then work with a coach, work with a trainer. Maybe your coach, like some of my coaches don't have the term coach. Some of them are mentor or guide or trainer or consultant, right? Like there's all these different names that people use. But essentially, it's somebody who can help you get where you want to go easily. You know,
they can call themselves Sherpas too, right? They can help you climb a mountain.
I think that's my skill, as Sherpa.
There, you see, keep on one of my fears. I've got a major fear of heights. So, but yeah, the thing is we're human. We're always going to have those fears. Nobody, I don't know of anybody that loves rejection. It's just something that you have to be mindful. It's like when you're salsa dancing or any type of dancing, you have to pivot to move. You just have to take a step back and reflect and go, okay, there's always a sale. How come I couldn't sell this person? Be mm-hmm. rational. Why did this person sell me that they don't need a coach or I'm not the coach for them? Mm-hmm. There was a transaction that happened and that's it. And hey, none of us live in Mayberry. And even if we did live in Mayberry, everything's through the big information superhighway, Zoom. Mm-hmm. If we lived with Andy Taylor and Aunt B and all those other people, Opie, you could still have a thriving business because it's all online.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't even have
that at all. Yeah.
I don't even have one client, local client.
I used to have one, not anymore. All my clients are remote. Yeah. And that's the fun of it, right? Talk to people in all corners of the world.
Exactly. Yeah. And it helps you understand their world. And it helps us sell better. The one thing is, and this is like a political thing, but people off both sides, everybody should have taken a geography class in college, because yes, our needs are all the same, but mm-hmm. our faith, our value system, the way we were raised, the way we think is based on where we grew up.
Yes.
And who we grew up with. So you can, them liberals out in California, whatnot. Well, they don't know what it's like, sir, to live in, you know, a rural area like yourself and mm-hmm. whatnot. If you understand people, their methods, their world, it's easier to connect. People always get this, like on social media, why do I say happy every single holiday, religious, whatnot? Because it's nice. It's to say, hey, have a great day. It's to understand their world. I'm not taking a shot at anybody's religion. I'm not saying there's a war on Christmas. There's a war on Hanukkah. Each is their own. We're all based on our past and our relatives. And that's what I love about, we can have clients all over because, well, to me, it was, and you're going to laugh, I took a geography, I'm an arts and science guy. I had to take a couple of them. And like, my class was taught by, oh my gosh, an Indian guy with an Indian accent in, LSU, Louisiana State University. Not exactly, even though Don Lemon and Donna Brazile and James Carville graduated from there, not exactly the most open-minded. And people, mm-hmm. it was like a 80-person class that before drop was like down to 20 or 30 people. One, it was like, well, isn't this a geography class? We're going to learn about other people taught by other people.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's how that's the number one thing that I, for any coach or for anybody, if you're selling life insurance, you're selling mutual funds, you're selling yourself, we're all selling ourselves, is try to connect with someone, understand their world. Who cares what they vote politically? Who cares what their religious views are, their social views? In general, the whole world, we all have the same human needs. And we all want love and we all want significance.
Yeah. And we all want to belong and we want a good life for our families, right? Yeah.
I would hope so. But yes, I mean, and that's what, and you're good. I would say your podcast, being on your podcast was like, and that's why you are a guide, you are a Sherpa, you are a coach. Because you did open, you expanded my vision, you in that short amount of time. But that's what a coach does.
Yes, agreed.
Everybody, okay, you're going to laugh. When people think of meditation, they think of Aum. We have the Buddhist monks behind us. We're in an ashram out in Tibet somewhere, meditation. And when somebody thinks of a coach, they think of like a Zig Ziglar, young Zig Ziglar, young Tony Robbins going, say yes. You woke up today. I want you to know that is motivation. That's not exactly.
And it's not motivation for everyone.
Exactly.
I have read a lot of Zig Ziglar and he totally appreciate him. But Tony Robbins is not my guy. I have never once listened to an entire Tony Robbins event or read his book. Because he's not my flavor. And that's perfect. Exactly. Right? It's perfect. He's somebody else's flavor. I don't begrudge that. He's just not mine.
But the thing is, most people don't understand that and don't come off as authentic. They're authentic selves because they want to be liked by everybody because they have this scarcity mindset that they want to be loved by everybody. Be who you are. Coach the way you want to coach. Have your own style, have your own personality. I know not every, I hear people, I'll never read your book. And it's like, okay.
Fine, right?
Yeah. Okay. Whenever I see one of your videos, I scroll past it. Okay. Well, if you find
significant. Why did you need to tell me that, right?
Exactly. It's like, okay. Well, I've heard this, you know, you're not going to be the next Grant Cardone or Zig Ziglar or Anthony Robbins. And I'm like,
did you want to be?
No, I just want to be the best version of myself.
Yes, right.
Claire, could you imagine?
And I am telling you that Grant Cardone, as an intelligent guy as he is, he spends far too much money on YouTube ads, and he is continually spamming my YouTube feed right now. So,
but also think about it. I'll pick out a random guy. If I wanted to be the next Brendan Burchard,
yeah,
why would they want to hire me? Why exactly. would they? There's Brendan Burchard.
Yeah, there he is. He's been doing his own work for all this.
Yes, he's been doing it.
How to speak quickly. That's his skill.
You'll hire him. You're not going to go to me because he's already there. But so many people, you know, they want a pair. They want to, you know, I'm going to be the next John Maxwell. Well, are you a preacher? Are you a minister? No. Okay. Well, even if you are, he's been John Maxwell for over 70 years.
So that's the piece right there, right? It's like giving yourself permission to be the version of you doing what you feel called to do, right? Like, I am called to be a coach, but I am never going to be, I don't want to be one of these high visibility coaches that speaks in front of thousands of people. It's just not my thing. Don't need to. For me, coaching is small group conversation. That's my favorite way. That's what I do. It's what I allow myself to do. Right.
There's so many avenues. You can do the, you know, the twice a month with a, you know, go on Zoom and you know, we speak for an hour. There's that type of coach. There's the one-on-one. There's the, hey, you know, hire me. I'm going to be at the Holiday Inn. I'm going to do a face-to-face. There's so much. The possibilities are endless. The possibilities are only, you know, stuck in your head. The more you can imagine, the more you can grow. But yeah, no, I honestly, I don't see anybody as competition. The only competition I have is myself.
I just need to give you, it's 5 to 1 and I've got a hard stop at 1 o'clock, just so you know. So I'm sorry about that.
No, no, don't worry about it.
And I'm sorry that you have to trim it in there. But
that's okay.
I can send you a chat. You wouldn't see it.
But that in itself. And since we only have such a limited amount of time, and you can tell we connect because it's just a normal conversation.
Yeah.
Like any podcast, like any being on top of any stage, now's your time then. Pitch away. How do we find you, Candy? Not for relationship,
not for dating coaching.
I can't find my soulmate through you. But
so the easiest way to find me is on my podcast. It's called She Coaches Coaches. And that's why I love coming and being a guest on an episode like with you. And this is really appreciate you having me as a guest. And I think that that's one of the best ways for us podcasters to get the word out. Go and talk to other podcasters, be on their podcast. And so that's one of my ways, because I just love these kinds of conversations with like-minded people. So I appreciate you having me.
And your website's awesome. Coaches, or if you think about becoming a coach, she's got an assessment. You do it, takes less than 10 minutes, and it'll tell you what you should do. And it says, for me, I'm a life coach. And at least like right there, because yes, people see me either as the business coach, the personal development guy. I'm both. I've got the woo-woo and I've got the business. So I felt great that I somewhat matched what I'm currently doing. And I would have felt weird if it said, you know, be the love coach. But yeah, you know, none of those answers. People never have to hear about me talking about my divorce or about trying to find my soulmate. I love some of those questions. I'm like, yeah, that's the opposite.
And I really love that you came up with the life coach niche. So it's find your perfect coaching niche quiz. And most people get that life coach. And then they either kind of freak out. Like, and I love that your response was that this fits. It's close enough. I do personal development. I do finance. I do all of this. But lots of people go, that's not narrow enough for me. And so for new coaches, especially, you don't need to be super narrow yet. You need to coach people. You need to get out there. You need to work with clients. And then eventually you'll narrow yourself down. But think about all the things that a life coach could do. So in your case, this blend of personal development, finance, there's one. But you could also be somebody that helps with procrastination. You could be a fear coach, right? Like all of that fear is all life coaching. You could be a goal setting coach. You could be, what's your life?
But good vibes every day. I'm thinking like, what if you did work? What if you took action and made it happen and started living inside of your purpose? What if you did work? Right now you can make the choice to never listen to that negative voice no more. The hardest prison to escape is our own mind. I was trapped inside that prison for a long time. To make it happen, you gotta take action. Just imagine, what if it did work?